From Mannheim, Germany, Safika joins The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming to the show.
It's a joy. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, I'd like to hear your story. When did you first get into music?
I started doing music when I was 13 years old.
Mm.
That was like, I think, the first time that I wrote a song. But before that, I was in church and doing worship, being in a music band. And I kind of found out that I really enjoy singing. And then it kind of kept on going with writing songs. I was pretty in love with Shawn Mendes, and I always imagined one day being famous and marrying Shawn Mendes. That was like my dream, my goal.
And now you are famous.
I don't know if you can call it famous. I think famous for me is more like I can really get money from it, and I can maybe, I don't know, be a part of giving my money to the family and raising a family and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be for me famous so that I can live off that. I mean, now I'm more known, but I wouldn't say famous. I think even if I would be famous, I don't know if I would marry Shawn Mendes now. He was my crush. Yeah. Yeah, but I think I grew older and there are just like different things that I look for now in the men, you know? I was like pretty young, teeny, hormones.
Now, I've been wanting to speak with you for quite a while because you're a standout in the Christian music scene, really due to your music style. Because you have to admit that mixing pop with worship isn't typical.
Yeah, I do think that there are some pop Christian musics available out there, but especially like pop electronic or pop techno or experimental music. I don't think that there's like a broad scene in the Christian world. But thank you. I really appreciate that.
We should get into your debut single, Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the chorus says, "Lead me on the way so I can be one with your Zion. Please give me the power. Let me be as brave like a lion." But here you are. You're performing in crowds mm-hmm. of people. Aren't you already brave?
Oh, I think it's difficult to say that because I think I can be brave on stage, but then it's also about being brave in my private life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that sometimes I still do care about what people think about me. And in a degree, it's also important to not just like push people away, but I think I care too much. And so sometimes I'm not as courageous or I don't feel enough courage to speak up or so. And so I would say that I need more courage in these areas. And yeah, but I also wrote the song in a time where I got bullied. I would say it was bullied because like they were making jokes of me and so on when I was in high school because I was a Christian. And I mean, probably some people were really hurt by the Christian church. And so they kind mm-hmm. of bullied me for being a Christian. And it was hard for me to choose to love them, but I knew that it's important because, I mean, I'm there for a reason. And first I was really upset. I was like, God, why am I there? Like, what is the reason I'm getting hurt? But then I felt like that God was telling me, Sophie, you have to love these people and I will give you the strength to love them. And so it was kind of like the message of Zion is to stand over different things, over hurt, over pain, over rejection, and to choose to love people because that's what God is intending for us, to have love that is overflowing, that only He can give.
So I want to get something straight. Are you saying that you started writing that song while you were in high school? Or was it just inspired by that time in high school?
I was writing the song when I was, I think it's high school. It's 11th till 13th. Yeah, so I wrote it in that time.
Since you've already brought up about high school and age,
mm-hmm.
every time I've read about you, the writer always wants to focus on how young you are.
Mm-hmm.
But is age really important? I mean, I don't think age affects your ability to make music.
Yeah, I do agree. I actually love the question because I think no one has really asked me that question. I think, yes, age doesn't really play a role in doing music and being a creative. I think it's it just depends on being creative, learning, knowing what you want to say. But then also, I mean, while you're going, while you are in the process of everything, you will learn how to know what you want to say.
One of your songs speaks about not fitting in. A fool to change the world says, got your rose-colored glasses on. In your eyes, I am a clown. Shaking Up Your Perfect World.
Mm-hmm.
Is that song actually about you? Have you had a tough time connecting with others?
Mm-hmm. I think, especially because I wanted to please people, I was scared that people could see me as like stupid or so. But then also, I think nowadays faith is also a thing where people are like, oh, doesn't make sense. That is something stupid to believe in. Or if you believe in it, it shows that you are immature or that you just need like someone to comfort you and then you're fine. I noticed that some people do think this way, but I still want to be brave. If some people think it's foolish, I want to be brave. And I want to also stand up for people who are maybe not seen, not loved. I remember one time I was in Berlin. Actually, that's how I also started to write the song. I was in Berlin and I was like going with the trains. Then there was a homeless person going through the train and was asking for money. And I just saw the faces of the other people looking at him. I saw disgust in their face and why is this person doing it again? I felt so pressured to not do anything because of the faces. But then in this case, you have to do something and you need to be there for the person. It doesn't mean that you maybe have to give money because also you never know if he's a member of a gang or so. But then you can just help with buying food or so. And you can just be nice and smile at them. I think that's also a message for other people to stand up for what they believe in, to stand up for their dreams, to stand up for the things that they have experienced, but not everyone understands them.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have struggled with their faith and revealing that in public.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's safe to do that at church, but not so much when you're around strangers.
Yes, exactly. Because I also think we as Christians, now we are more careful with how we share Jesus because there is a history with church, because a lot of people got hurt by church. And so we don't want to kind of push faith in their faces or talk about Jesus because we think they could be hurt or they could be triggered. But it's really interesting to think about like different religions. They're like, they're really proud of their religion. They're like, hey, this is the best thing I've ever done. I mean, nowadays we see it with yoga and with Hinduism, with Buddhism, where it's like, you should try it. And nobody is ashamed of that. But I think maybe it's the Western church has a conflict of, should I say that I'm proud of being a Christian or not? It's kind of also the same in Germany. I feel like that sometimes Germans are ashamed to be German, because maybe of the history, and every nation is kind of proud of themselves. But then when it's about Germany, Germans are like, no, like, I don't want to be German for different things. Like, you can sense that they're not with them being a German. You know what I mean?
Really? I'm surprised at that.
Yeah. Maybe not in a crazy extent. I talked one time to someone and if war would break out in Germany, if this person would fight for it. And then he said, no, like he wouldn't fight for the country and just like for Germany in a sense. And of course, I'm not a fan of war, but if someone is coming and is trying to invade my home, then I will fight back. But they were just like, no, we're just going to leave. We're not going to do anything. Maybe it's just also how I'm thinking of I have a battling spirit. I'm like, I want to stand up. And I want to fight for my family. I want to fight for my friends.
You're a militant Christian.
Maybe it sounds like this now that I'm a fan of war, but I actually just mean to stand up for the people who cannot stand up and to fight for the people who cannot fight.
Well, let's get away from the aggression for a minute. I really think the key thing to your music is your voice. Really, you have a wonderful voice.
Thank you.
Is that something you had to develop?
Yes, I actually took singing lessons for quite a few years. I think I started when I was 13 or 12. And then I had the first stop when I was 16. And then I started again when I was maybe about 21. And now I'm still taking lessons. And so it's definitely a few years that I'm taking voice lessons. It's like a muscle. If you don't take care of the muscle, you will have after effects. I mean, mm-hmm. When someone is playing football or so, they have to take care of their muscles. Otherwise, you will not play long.
I think we all need to realize that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me pull in something that really does show off your voice, and that's the single Desire. I've seen the song described as an infectiously catchy pop track with a perfect hook. The thing is that the song could be viewed as being about God or a human relationship.
Yeah.
Were you wanting the song to be ambiguous?
I think so, yes. I can imagine that some people are a bit thrown off if they hear this about God, because it's not just my goal to just reach Christians, but I also want to reach people who don't have anything to do with faith. And that's why I don't want to put like a bigger wall in between me and my music, you know what I mean? Me and the person.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Christian music scene in Germany where people can support each other?
It's in the making. It's definitely in the making. But we have a Christian rap scene and a Christian, what else is there? Yeah, I think I could say rap scene and just maybe tiny bit of pop, but not really an EDM Christian scene. I think it's still in the making. We are all still connecting and we are all still trying to find our group of people where we are like, okay, we can work together and that's nice. I have found some nice people definitely that I can talk to and process with. My producers, they're often non-Christians because I think they're really creative. Some of them are so, I'm mind blown by their creativity and their professionality. I'm like, wow. And so that's why I love to also work together with non-Christians. In general, I think it's always good to connect different things and just to get to know people and yeah.
Well, I know that you've certainly made connections with other artists because you appear as featured vocalist on so many other people's songs.
That's true, yeah.
Are you okay with that, or would you rather be only doing your songs?
No, I think I'm definitely okay with this. It's also fun to connect with different people, to talk to them. I mean, I was also talking to Neon Feather. It's inspiring, you know, and I can ask for their advice and just know what they're thinking, what they're saying, and they're also really encouraging. I have to say that Neon Feather, he was really encouraging. He sent me one time a really nice text, and I was like, wow.
That was somebody I was going to bring up because Ben Thompson is Neon Feather and you did the guest spot on Righteousness. What was it like working with him?
It was really nice. How we met was he was just texting me via Instagram, and that was after my second or first year of Bible school. And I was so surprised because I did know him and I was like, what? Why is he texting me? And I was so happy about this. And he was like, hey, I really want you to sing over this track. Would you be down for that? I was like, yes, I would love to. And I was literally like, I was home in that moment. And I showed that song to my family. And I was like, guys, you won't believe what happened. And I played this song, you know, and I was dancing in the living room and my family. We were all laughing and just having fun and being excited because, I mean, it is complicated to find foot in the music scene. Because I think there's so many talented people and sometimes you just need to be at the right spot in the right moment. And that happened was a huge deal for me and also a huge encouragement for me to know that I'm being heard, I'm being seen, something is happening. I could potentially live from this. And so that was incredible for me.
That's the cool thing about Neon Feather. Every song he produces always has a guest vocalist, all with somebody different.
He's amazing. I love his supportive heart and his kindness. It's really, really, really great.
Something I want to know from you. You know, the reality is that the number of followers of Christian music is really kind of limited. Wouldn't you have more success if you were just heading strictly into the mainstream and drop the Christian aspect?
I know what you mean. Yes, I do agree in a way. But I also think, like, for example, right now, what I'm trying to do also this year, I'm going to bring out some really nice songs. And the good thing that I love about the next songs is that, yeah, it's Christian inspired, but it's more about also my processes that I'm going through. For example, one of the songs is going to be about people pleasing. And I'm talking about how I'm a people pleaser and that sometimes I lose myself, but still I know that God cares for me. But God is in that song, he doesn't have like a huge role, but I just mention it in a little sentence where I'm like, God, I think I lost myself again. God, I need your help. Do you know John Bellion?
Yes, I do.
I love John Bellion. I love what he's doing because I feel like he talks about his emotions. He talks about the processes that he's going through. And people respect him for that. They respect him for being honest and for sharing his thoughts. And so then when he's sharing something about God, I think it's a different level of respect of like, okay, I know you. I hear what you've said. And you are a believer. Tell me, what's the deal with it? Why do you believe? I want to do that too. I want to be, in a way, respected by people who are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of be like, wow, you are a Christian. How come? Like, you're talking about these things, but you've experienced a lot and you still believe. And it's not just a pity thing for you, but you actually hold on to that. Why? And I want to build community with the people who are listening to me. I want to build them up. I want to show them that they're not alone. Even if they're fighting different battles, I want to tell them that there's hope. I want to just make them be a part of my story.
Well, that opens up something else then. Do you think Christian listeners are really ready for honest songs?
I think they're longing for it. I actually do think that Christian listeners long for honest speeches, for honest opinions, how to go through problems. I mean, I remember when I became a Christian and I always heard, and God told me, and I had a picture and this and that. I always thought, you've seen a picture, you've heard his voice. Like, what is that? How do you do that? And I was so frustrated because I felt like no one is talking openly about this. I mean, it still is often an ongoing thing. When I'm, for example, doubting faith or so, then I always thought I'm the only one because nobody talked to me about that. That it's sometimes you're going through struggles in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You feel so alone and you feel like that you've done something wrong, but actually it's a matter of growing and learning and trusting and talking to people about everything. And that's why I love to listen to testimonies because they just show the real things. And so I think someone has to start, and I think people have started already to speak very openly and be really brave and authentic, not just saying something, but living something different, but actually saying something and living it too. But I think there could be more. I think sometimes we are afraid of also being canceled by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We're just afraid that we're just the only ones who are going through problems, but everyone goes through problems. That's a reality. Because we all need healing, we all need deliverance in a sense, and we all need restoration in our hearts.
I agree with you 100%. Now, during this talk, we've spoken about how you're from Germany, and it really does seem only fair that I include a song that actually is sung in German. You teamed up with yes. Miron Raffes mm-hmm. to record Hoffnung. The song title yes. translates as Hope and has these beautiful lyrics. You hold mm-hmm. the moon and the stars. Heaven yes. is the work of your hands. I hear your voice in mm-hmm. the laughter of children and see your strength when mm-hmm. there is a thunderstorm mm-hmm. outside. Is it difficult for you to perform and sing in English, or would it just be easier just to do it in German?
I'm actually not really sure. I haven't sung this song very often live.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't feel that it's a burden for me to sing in English because I was for 2 years in America. And I also feel a bit more free because people can understand me in English. I think German is such a tough language to speak. Crazy. Even me as a native German, I struggle sometimes to speak clear and good German because it's just so complicated. But I also felt from the beginning on that I should be more international, that I should write songs that are in English. But then, of course, if someone is offering me a feature, then I will take it because I also have a heart for Germany.
You mentioned that you spent a couple years in the States. What were you doing there?
I did Bible school in California, Redding, in Bethel. For 2 years, I was there.
Wow. It has to be very different going to California instead of staying in Germany.
It was definitely a crazy jump, I would say so, yes. But I really enjoyed that time. I enjoyed being in different cultures. Oh my gosh, there were also so many like Latin people. Oh, I love their freedom. I also, one of my best friends, she's from Miami, but she's like Latino. And she, Colombian. I think Colombian. No, I'm not sure. but she has like the Spanish blood. And it's so amazing how free they live and that they have such a warm heart, not necessarily overthinking. I was so refreshed just being in a different culture where you just speak to people, just to random people. You just talk to them about their shoes and it's light and easy. I love that. I really love that.
Do you think you'd ever go back?
I don't know. I mean, it would be cool for just like a time, maybe for 1 month or so. But I do feel that I'm needed in Germany right now because I'm also now part of a German worship band, a live worship. And I think some things are changing in Germany and I want to be part of that. But I mean, for sure, for a time, that would be nice to go back.
You know, something that we definitely need to speak about is the latest from Safika.
Yes.
You released Tinkle Toes on April 5th. And I have to admit, okay, that yes. I laughed when I heard the song title.
So many people laugh.
But this is a serious song.
It is a serious song, yeah.
Can you explain what it's all about?
Well, first of all, I wrote this, I think I wrote the hook when I was in Bible college. And we had, in that time, we had the revival mm-hmm. history. So we talked about different moves of God and where he was doing something and working in specific places. And my heart just got so fiery. And I had this one instrumental that I did. And I always wanted to write something over it, to write a song for it. But I never knew what I could write about it or write to it. And then one time after revival class, I was sitting in the Californian student kitchen. And I started to play the track and I got a melody. And I was like singing, I feel a tingle in my toes when you come around so close. And I was like, whoa, that's something. There's something on it. And so for me, it was actually like a miraculous song because I did connect so fast with that song, with the line. Yes, but the song is basically about how I want to be in the future, that I notice God when he just comes into a room, that I don't have to ask and to be like, is it really you? Is it not you? Tell me, give me more signs and 5 signs. Give me 100 signs because I'm not sure if it's you. But that one day I have such a deep relationship with God that I can feel him come in and then I know it's him. And then he's telling me something and I'm like, okay, I want to go with you. It's a relationship for me that is full of trust and full of just knowing that this is what I was made for. I don't want to be with anyone else but just with you, going and save the souls. And the song is basically also for me a revival song where it's like, let's be brave. Like, in a sense, we're meant to be together and only together we can change the world. And I want to see miracles. I want to see how things are changing. I want to see how broken hearts get restored and so on. And so that's like a dream of mine, really. That's like what I long in our relationship that I have with Jesus.
How was it that you thought up the idea for the song titled Tingle Toes? I know it's part of the lyrics, but it was a surprise.
Yeah, I think from the beginning on, I just really liked the part Tingle Toes. I mean, now when I think about that, if people don't listen or haven't listened to that song yet, they don't know the music style. They don't know how the song sounds mm-hmm. like. And so they could think that it could be a child's, like a song for children. That's what I noticed. It's a bit confusing. It's like, what is she writing about? And so it could also be catchy because I think if I would take a title like Revival or When You Come Around So Close, that's so basic. I want to take something that's not basic. That's, for example, also why I chose the title A Fool Changed the World, because it's like a fool to change the world. That doesn't make sense. That's not right. Like, I want to know what you have to say. Why you called the song A Fool Changed the World? To bring more interest.
Exactly.
And so people are like, because I want people to listen to my lyrics. That's what I want. I want them to enjoy the music, but also to listen to my songs, what I have to say. And so I think that's a way how I can get them on the hook.
One line of the chorus really fits the style of the music. And it says, we are making mm-hmm. deeper memories, dancing yeah. with the lonely hearts. Because, I mean, here it is, having mm-hmm. an EDM bass. What yeah. could be more natural? You've brought up the EDM a couple of times. It really is that important to you.
It is. It is so important to me. because I think there's so many nice EDM songs, but I often don't like sometimes what they sing about, or it's just about party, party, party. But what if you combine EDM with Christian stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, I mean, I've been not really partying. I've been not clubbing much. But the one time that I was clubbing with a school retreat after we graduated. We traveled to Berlin to a club, and I just noticed that music does have an atmosphere. It determines the atmosphere. And it was like pretty dirty music, I would say. And I noticed that it affected me so much. And then after coming out of the club, I was like, Sophie, oh no, what did you do? Like nothing really happened. I was just like standing on the table dancing. And I was just like thinking about that. It's so crazy how music can affect you.
Oh yeah.
But then also, if you think about that, if a song can affect you so much that someone who's actually not doing something like that is standing on a table and dancing, then how much can we affect people with Christian music, but with good qualitative Christian music? Because one time, I don't know, do you know Kevin Alexander?
Yes.
I was at an event that he did, clubbing, but Christian clubbing. And that was crazy. Like in the beginning, I was always like, I don't know if that really works to do like Christian clubbing and not be bad in a sense. But when I was there, I noticed that's such a different atmosphere. And I do think, for example, worship music, like the strings and so on, they carry beauty. And maybe a guitar, it carries tenderness. But then if it's a specific electronic music, not just like the summer vibe, but like deep and where the bass is hitting hard, it can carry like a majestic and powerful feeling.
100%.
And so I think it can help people to experience something that is going to change their lives in a sense, where they feel maybe they've got like power or joy or a zeal. Let's go. Let's get the souls. We're making deeper memories. Let's do it. And then also in the same time, you're proclaiming these songs over yourself, which is amazing. So it's a win-win-win.
So in just a few years, you've brought out a long list of singles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be the future plan for Sofika?
In some ways, yes, but I also have planned to do a water EP release. I think nowadays you have to be famous to be able to do an album, because then everyone is listening to an album. Only if you're famous, like Shawn Mendes or Taylor Swift, they can do it because their fans will listen to it up and down, up and down. But then mm-hmm. usually when you do have an album and you're not famous yet, you don't have a huge reach, then it won't happen that people listen to all of your songs and they will just like pick their favorite ones out and put into the playlist and listen from there.
Well, again, there is lots to listen to from you.
Thank you.
This has been great, Sofika. I got to thank you so much for coming for a talk with The Antidote.
It was a joy. I love the questions that you asked me. I really, really enjoyed it.